Our scripture for the morning message is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, and it reads, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
So it's good to be back to Pacific Beach. It was June, 2 years ago, 04, 06. Boy, time's gone fast. I just lost a drop a couple of years. And so in 2006, I retired after 33 years of ministry, a United Methodist. One of my last appointments up at Oceanside. And we built a church. Well, we sold two churches and built a church in 1975. And when I was in Oceanside, I started collecting Oceanside shirts. Although this is from the Del Mar Fair, I have to be honest. And each year I go with the family to the Del Mar Fair, I get the new hot shirt. And I would wear it only on, like, summer beach days. But now that I'm retired, I just wear it all the time. In fact, when I retired, at the annual conference, they gather you together and have the big chapel filled. And each pastor gets about 5 minutes to share their 33 years or whatever of ministry. Never enough time. In fact, when I went up to talk and just started rolling, just started getting going, the grim reaper of timekeepers started moving towards me, you know, just did this kind of shuffle. And I knew once he got to me, and he was about 6'2 or 3, he was going to cut me off. So I figured, and I didn't know the fella, he might be a little homophobic, so I said, "You get any closer, I'm going to kiss you. Because I got a minute or two to go." Well, guess what? He kissed me. And everybody in the congregation starts laughing. And that stopped me in the tracks because I didn't have a comeback to that. And I just said out loud, "I think I've just been blessed. And thank you." And I sat down. What I have to share with you this morning has to do with the scripture, has to do with this idea of the created in the image of God and recreated and renewed in the image of God. You find it throughout Paul, just speckled here and there. Put off the old self, put on a new self. Being recreated as new creature in Christ. The in Christness, and through my ministry, even though I preached on it, I didn't have a transformative experience. I mean, I remember as a youth becoming a Christian and a Christian becoming convicted, and you know all those things that I thought you all go through to be an authentic Christian. Even on the death of Martin Luther King, I fell to my knees because the sense of his call to ministry. He was on the road to somewhere to serve God, to do the right thing. And I thought, you know, I need to declare I'm on that path to do the right thing. And call into ministry was simply that, following the path that I felt God was calling me to do. And lo and behold, I became a United Methodist pastor and followed that path. Somewhere midlife, though, I got shaky on that path and wondered, well, what if God's got something else for me to do? I went back, got another master's degree for counseling and such, and I realized that helped me with a little more depth and understanding. Parishioners coming to the pastor for some help, you know, I sometimes didn't know what I was really doing. I just, you know, a prayer and a wing, and I realized I need to be skill-based. So I got that master's degree and became a little more skill-based in counseling. And I realized God was calling me to something more. And so I took a bunch of tests. Conference sent me off to some place, career tests and make sure my Tinker Toy set was okay. And, you know, just kind of doing all those things that check out, see if this guy's for real. And lo and behold, the highest interest was in art. And I made a decision right there. I was not going to be a midlife starving artist. That's it. But it's always been there. And what I realized is that we have potentials, and we don't always go down the path of our potential. What we do is just kind of do what's expedient, what is kind of easy or whatever. When I was a youth at Sepulveda United Methodist Church in San Fernando Valley, youth worker was, it was Mary and Sid Horn. Now Mary, I didn't know it at the time, was a psychiatric social worker. Got an award from the state one time, working with really disturbed children. Maybe that's why she was working with me, I don't know. She worked with the youth, but she bugged me because she says, you know, and one of my aliases is Dick Smith, you know, kid. Hey, Dick, you've got a lot of potential. And it just bugged me because I didn't see any potential. I was one of those brought up with the word stupid. A dad that just... Hey, stupid, you know, meathead, remember that? The TV thing and the meathead? I was the meathead. Now, we won't go back into the psychodynamics here, but I really had this kind of stupid thing going. You know, I'd play racquetball and miss it, and stupid. You know, just really strong in this midlife testing thing. I was a couple standard... deviations above the norm in an intelligence test. I said, wait a minute, I can't be stupid and bright. Oh, well, you can, but... Sharon knows this. She's very practical. Sharon was up at La Jolla United Methodist Church Children's Ministries for 13 years, neighbor up there. And stupid and bright, and I resolved and realized, you know, all right, I'm not stupid anymore. And boy, was that a paradigm shift. Well, I started looking at life a little different when you're not stupid. You begin to see things differently and begin to think differently, and you begin to look at your faith differently. No, God doesn't create stupid. He created us in the image of God. We're not only products of God, we are also part of the process of God. And there's this reality that began to sink in, although I couldn't manifest or make it real in my life, that God made me a creator. Well, actually, He made us all creators. I'm a slow learner. When I got that master's degree in counseling, they said, well, you got to take a course in alcoholism. So, give me a break. What do I need this for? So I take this course, and all of a sudden, in the beginning of it, not too far along, I realize it. Oh, wait a minute. Dad didn't just have a drinking problem. He was a blankety-blank alcoholic. I thought about that. We studied the family system. And I said, oh, wait a minute. That would make me an ACA, adult child of alcoholic. Started attending the group recovery groups, a couple of years of ACA groups, realizing I got all these patterns living with the man that made me think I was stupid. And you know, what other patterns are there? And lo and behold, then I said, well, that makes my sister 7 years older. She's also, and she married an alcoholic. Oh my gosh, look how this family system works. Would you believe it was a year or so later I found out my mom, you talk about family secrets, my mom attended Al-Anon for a year and a half. Nobody knew. See, sometimes life unfolds in ways that we don't know, and it takes time for things to develop. And the whole idea that we're gifted, that there's a creator in us, and that we are creative. We're not in a culture that really believes that. We're not in a culture that supports that and sustains that. Art is, you know, the aristocratic thing. Or art is for those museums. Art is out there, but it's not in here. I think I was deprived as a child because I can't really remember finger painting. And so what's happening in my retirement and my looking at God as creator, I'm sitting in the hot tub, 6 a.m., the birds are chirping, it's a great morning, and all of a sudden I'm thinking of St. Francis of Assisi and a saying he had, and this is not an exact quote, but it was close. Preach the gospel whenever you get a chance. And when necessary, use words. What a paradox. See, I've been a preacher, whereas preach the gospel means use words, right? That's what we do. And then how do you preach the gospel without using words? I thought back going to seminary, one of the first events in the community was that Martin Luther King Sr., after the death of his son, was preaching at Evanston First Church, and he got up there to preach, and all of a sudden he's out of the pulpit, he's going down the aisle, he's just preaching. And I thought, whoa, you can see what Martin got his preaching. He got it from his dad. It was flowing, it was moving. But I remember one thing that Martin Luther Sr. said. He says, I'm retired. He says, I'm no longer preaching sermons. I am going to be a living sermon. A living sermon. He's going to do the gospel, not just talk about the gospel. He's going to be a living example. Some pastors do a good job of both doing and talking. Your pastor, April, is good at doing and talking. Talk the talk and walk the walk. And what I realized in retirement, God was calling me to do something outside the box, not go back and just be an associate helper, pastor, and do all those things that I had a skill bag for. He was calling me to do something with this creator inside of me. Unskilled stick figure artist. So I started taking courses up in MiraCosta, which is close to us, and all of a sudden discovered I love colors and I love different things and ceramics, kinesthetic. And I get emotional with the clay. Think of God the potter and we're the clay. God must get really involved within us when he's shaping us and forming us, influencing us. We are creators, being created in the image of God. You know, I'm still toying with that whole thing as I go back and read different scriptures about being renewed and recreated in Christ. I realize it isn't the old box that I'm used to. It's a whole new box. It's that box of living on the edge of the unknown, but wild with expectation. God's not through with me yet. And I don't think I'm alone. I don't think God's through with you yet. And there's a creator in you. Needs to get out. Needs to do some things. Color beyond the lines. Outside the box. God is outside the box. Colorful. Joyful. And alive. RC, it's time to sing. Let's go. Wake him up. In closing, here he is. I just want to say, Sharon and I visited 26 churches in that first year, Methodist churches in this district. You're number one. The Spirit of God rest upon us as we enter this time of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day as a gift of life, for being in this special and holy place, to hear your word and music and prayer and song, to hear your word come alive in us as you call us into your creativity. We ask for blessings upon our family and friends, those a part of our village, those closest to us, those we hold dear. We also pray for those who are beyond our village, those far distance and far away, those that are a part of us in some way and those who are not a part of us. Those that are difficult to love. Those that may even have been labeled as enemies. We believe in the power of your grace so strong that it can change the world. And so we entrust you with our prayers for the world. Those in service, those in mission, those simply traveling, all at a distance, we lift them up as a part of the family. And we pray your Holy Spirit upon our congregation here. Bless us in our mission and our ministries and in our service. Let your grace move through us in such a way that others are drawn to the fountain of your grace in Jesus Christ. For it is through him that we have learned to pray the prayer that draws us together as brothers and sisters in Christ when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.